This morning's scripture comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Hear these words. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This, my friends, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Once some children were brought together, about age 4 to 8, and they were asked a question. They were asked, "What does love mean?" Listen to some of their responses. Little Carl, age 5, said, "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other." Another, Noel, age 7, said, "Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, and then they wear it every day." Another said, "Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well." And finally, Chris, age 7, said, "Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is more handsome than Brad Pitt." Well, lots of ways to think about love, but today we're going to think about love from a biblical perspective. Love, as we find in the scriptures, is the strongest force in the world. People want to be strong, and you and I want to be strong, especially in these COVID days. We've
tried to be strong, and lots of people have tried to pray and turn to God, and that's what we are doing today, to be stronger. It's part of our sermon series about unlimited strength, and we conclude it today noting that the strongest force in the world is love. I remember meeting a person who was visiting here in the sanctuary in worship many years ago. They came with a friend. It was a young man, about 25, and I believe he was dating a young woman in our congregation. And as they came through the greeting line after worship, I noticed a couple of people away that he was coming, and I didn't know him, but I further noticed that this young man had more muscles than I have ever seen close up on a human being. Now, TV is one thing, but this young man had muscles upon muscles. It was summertime. He was wearing a t-shirt with showing all his muscles, and he came up, and I was actually afraid to shake his hand because I knew how strong it was going to be. And when he shook my hand, wow. Well, he wants to be strong of body. Nothing wrong with that. But what we want is to be strong of soul. And so we think about what it means to have unlimited strength through the power of love. The Bible text you heard read a moment ago is really important. It is Jesus' last message to his disciples. The setting is the upper room. They have had the Last Supper. Judas has left to betray Jesus. And now Jesus is giving what some call his farewell sermon. The last things we say to a person at times are really, really important. I remember going off to college many different times, and always there would be that last message from my mother about something. Now, she would have already told me this 3 or 4 or 5 times while I was there for the holiday visit or the break, but at the last she had to say it again to be sure I got that message. Well, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's been with his disciples for 3 years. He has certainly taught them and showed them that love is at the heart of who he is and what he is about. But at the very end, once again, that last message, love one another. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Three times in two sentences, he repeats those words, love one another. Can't get any clearer. And indeed, that's exactly what many Bible scholars have said. This is the clearest passage in all of the New Testament. Pretty simple, but pretty hard to do. So let's look closer at the three pieces of his message. The first thing he says is, a new command I give you. A new command. Well, what's new? Certainly, commandments were known to the disciples, to all of the Jews. Jesus knew the commandments, certainly the Ten Commandments. And then in the Old Testament, all of these disciples would have well known the 613 commandments of Orthodox Judaism. That's right, 613. The Pharisees, we often hear about them, they were so obsessed about knowing these that they memorized them and tried to live them out perfectly. So commandments were a part of life. But Jesus here says this is a new commandment. Well, what's new about it? The new part of this commandment is that there are no limits to who we are to love. You see, the Old Testament, they may have known those Ten Commandments. They may have known the 613 Orthodox commandments, but they didn't always do them. They would have known the golden rule in the Old Testament, and by the way, found in every major world religion, love your neighbor as yourself, but they didn't do them. We know that because Jews wouldn't even talk to Samaritans. Jews believed Gentiles were dirty and unworthy of God. No, this was not universal. This was very selective. What's new? Jesus says this is for everyone. It's tough for us sometimes, I believe, because we like to be selective too, whether we think about it or not. We like to love people, for example, if we think they deserve it. Maybe you grew up or have had experiences in life where someone has loved you if they think you deserve it. But when perhaps you don't perform right, you don't get certain grades when you're young, or you don't perform in an athletic competition, then love is withdrawn. That is not uncommon. So it makes it hard to think about loving everyone all the time when we have had experiences where people have withdrawn their love from us. But Jesus said, new command, there's no limits. It's also hard for us because sometimes we love people who agree with us. It's so easy for me to love people who agree with me. I mean, they have to be very smart to agree with me anyway, so I get along with them. We agree on theology, we agree on politics. Oh, it's so easy to love those folks. But Jesus is saying a new commandment that there's no limits to who you are to love. You're to love everyone. It's a great story coming out of a hurricane in Florida. Hurricane had damaged much of this community. Houses were destroyed. Some people died, and the Red Cross came in. And when they came in, they set up a center to distribute things that people needed to get through these first few days of the hurricane. So at this Red Cross center, there was a person behind the desk giving out supplies. A Chinese woman walked up, and she was pretty rattled. And she walked up and said, could I have 6 batteries for my flashlights? My kids are scared of the dark. And the person behind the desk, the Red Cross person, said, I'm sorry, we can only give 2 batteries for each person, unless someone's with you who's a relative. Well, the woman was all by herself, or she thought she was, because right away, a white guy standing about 4 steps away said, well, I'm related, and they gave her 2 more batteries. Then an African-American girl right in the back of the line said, I'm related to her. They gave her 2 more batteries. You see what love does. Love has no limits. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. That is what is so new about this commandment. We don't just love people who are like us. We don't just love people who get along with us. You must love everyone, he says. And then he says, as I have loved you, you must love others. Well, now it's getting even harder. because they have experienced the love of Jesus. They have seen him love prostitutes who the Jewish leaders were ready to kill because she violated the law. But Jesus loved her, accepted her, forgave her, and sent her on her way to a new life. Love as I have loved you. Here too, we're not always used to being loved that way. Think about how you grew up. Think about the people who have loved you in your life. Did they love you all the time? Did they love you even when you didn't do well? Did they love you when you failed? Often that's the point. Jesus is saying, love is the way I love you. Love others the way I have loved you. Conditional love is when we love people as they fit our desires, as they do what we want, as they are like us. Unconditional love is anywhere, anytime, all the time. Grace is that word that means we love people just as they are, without limits. Unconditional love in spite of their failures. John writes this letter today and tells us about this, but he also wrote another letter. And in 1 John, the letter he wrote, he says, we ought to lay down our lives for others the way Jesus laid down his life for us. If you want to love, that's the kind of sacrificial love. Jesus himself said, no greater love has any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus did that. So Jesus is saying, it's a new command. Love the way I have loved you. I think a good example of that comes out of this COVID crisis. I read recently, through tears, of two Christian doctors. Doctors who went to school, who learned their trade, who spent years helping others, and then the COVID crisis came. And we all know that it is deadly. These doctors went back into their hospitals over and over and over again to help save other lives. And then each of them contracted COVID and died. Sacrificial love like that, like Jesus. That's what it means to love one another. It's a powerful story about a wedding. Danielle and Andy were getting married. They had dated for a good while. Danielle had a little boy by another relationship. The man had left, and so little Jake did not know his father, never had a father. He was 4 years old. And now they were getting married. They were in the church. Imagine them standing right here. But little Jake, 4 years old, after he did his ring bearer thing, sat in the pew and got very restless and very upset and just was rushing around and trying to go places. They had to actually put two adults by him so he didn't bother folks. You see, that's how he always was. That's how he always was. So the wedding was going on, and as it was, that's when Andy, the new father, stopped the service right in the middle. He said, hold on, Pastor. Even Danielle, his bride, the mother of little Jake, didn't know what he was going to do. And Andy turned and looked at little Jake in the first pew. And he called his name, Jake. And the four-year-old stopped his fiddling and fussing. And he looked. And Andy said, Jake, I love you with all my heart. I will always be your father. You will always be my son. And with that, Jake stopped moving and fidgeting and fussing. And he looked at Andy, and you could see a tear in his eye. And people all around knew that Jake was about to discover what it meant to be fully loved. That's the kind of love that Jesus showed. And that's the kind of love that Jesus asks us. A new commandment, love as I have loved you, sacrificially. And then he says, finally, you must love one another. He repeats himself. Often in the Jewish teachings, the teachers would repeat themselves, not unlike a teacher today, to make a point. Remember, he said, love one another three times. So at the end, he says, you must love one another. He puts the word must in there, an imperative. In the Bible, there are about 100 statements where people are told to do something to one another, serve one another, forgive one another, bear with one another. But none of them have this imperative with the word must. Jesus says, you must love one another. And so it gets very, very severe. So severe that Jesus looks at them and says, if you don't do it, you're not my disciples. Ouch. If you don't love one another, you're not my disciples. But we all want to think we're Jesus' disciples, don't we? You must love one another. And here's the kicker to it. You don't get to choose who you love. No little asterisk that Jesus puts in his statement. Love one another unless they're this or unless they're that. You don't get to choose who you love. You're called just to love one another. You must, Jesus is saying. The must means we must care about people. We must serve people. We must forgive people. We must be compassionate to people. You know what love is supposed to look like, but Jesus is saying, you're not my disciples unless you do it. And so the imperative is very strong. What we've been trying to do in the last 15 weeks of COVID is to love each other. And I hope you have. What we've been trying to do through the church is the same thing. 3,000 masks have been made, given out to whoever needs them. That's an act of love. Food has been distributed to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. New ways of getting food to people have been developed, and that's an act of love. Coupons have been purchased to give to our immigrant neighbors on Main Street. That's an act of love. Food has been taken to a low-income clinic so that it can be given right then and there to people who can't get to our pantry. People are buying food and delivering it to their homes. We're purchasing pizzas and taking them to homes. All acts of love. A part of me wants to create a little sticker and simply put it on all these things. Another act of love from God through Trinity Church. That's what they are. The greetings notes. People have been writing greetings, little cards to folks for about 7 or 8 weeks. I'm hearing incredible stories of how people are so heartwarmed. They feel loved each time they get such a note. People are praying with each other, giving rides to the doctor. People are helping folks in special ways. Those are acts of love. Martin Luther King Jr., you know of his legacy. Near the end of his life, he was giving a talk at Ebenezer Baptist Church. And this is what he said. If any of you are around when I have to meet my final day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Tell them not to say that I won the Nobel Peace Prize. Tell them not to say that I won 300 or 400 other awards. Tell them not to talk about where I went to school. Just be sure they say this, that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. Martin Luther King Jr. just tried to love somebody, because that's what it all boils down to. I started by speaking of this young man who had great muscles and was so incredibly strong. Everybody could see that strength. Well, there's another person who was a whole lot stronger. She was about 4'11", weighed maybe 105 pounds, and felt called by God early in her life to go and serve and love the poor. You perhaps already know I'm speaking of Mother Teresa. Listen to what she said when she received the Nobel Peace Prize. Listen.
I personally am most unworthy, but I brought a girl child from the street, and I could see in the face of the child as the child was hungry. God knows how many days they have not eaten. So I gave her a piece of bread. And the little one started eating the bread crumb by crumb. And I said to the child, eat the bread. Eat the bread. And she looked at me and said, I'm afraid to eat the bread because I'm afraid when it is finished, I will be hungry again. This is a reality. Maybe we are not hungry for a piece of bread, but maybe there is somebody there in the family who is unwanted, unloved, uncared, forgotten. There is love. Love begins at home. And love to be true has to hurt. And this is what I bring before you. To love one another with great love.
If you want to be strong, love one another. Let's pray. Lord God, we have heard these words many times, and so we must ask your forgiveness for not putting them more and more into practice. But today, O God, help us to hear again and more deeply within our souls your call that we must love one another if we want to be your disciples. So help us to open the eyes of our hearts to see opportunities this day, this very day, and every day for how we can love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.